The first reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
By the way, I hope you noticed all the heroes in that story are women. A great story from Exodus. Our second scripture reading comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. "Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for what's doing right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear, do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Maintain a good conscience so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil." This is the word of the Lord. Do you know the story of Thomas Edison's elementary school teacher? She apparently sent a note home with Thomas one day in elementary school, which read in part, "Your child is dumb. There's nothing we can do for him." So the story goes, Mrs. Edison sent back a note which read, "I will teach him myself," along with maybe a few other choice words that we don't remember. And so she did. And we know what happened. Thomas Edison, one of the brilliant minds, one of the great inventors of our time. So the story ends with the question, so who was really greater, Thomas Edison or his mother? Or another Mother's Day story, Paul Holmer, teacher, was for many years a member of the faculty at Yale Divinity School. And he was a guy that had all the credentials. He had the Doctor of Philosophy degree. He had honorary degrees. He had visiting lectureships. He had authored books. And one day a graduate student asked the professor a question, maybe an innocent question. He asked the professor, "Why do you believe in God?" The student may have been looking for one of those, you know, rationally defended cases for faith, you know, apologetics, we call it, articulated arguments. And Dr. Holmer just paused for a moment, surprised the student by saying, "Because my mother told me." Maybe it was the witness of her life. Maybe he caught it from her. Even after all of our education and our teaching, which I love, I think that old saying of faith, that faith is better caught than taught has some truth in it. So today we look at a great but not often recognized mother, along with several daughters, in the Old Testament book of Exodus. On a day that we lift up and give thanks for the gifts of women, Exodus tells us a profound story of love. A man from the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she gave birth to a son. At that time, we know the people of God were enslaved, suffering all sorts of atrocities, and perhaps the most heinous was that Pharaoh had decided to kill all the male newborn babies in Egypt. So the mother knew that if this child was to live, it would take a kind of a miracle. She hid him as long as possible. Then she took a tremendous but calculated risk. She had her daughter Miriam put the little boy in a basket in the Nile, floated it downstream in the hopes that he would be found somehow cared for. What she got was even more incredible. The basket floated to the house of Pharaoh himself. It was discovered by an Egyptian princess. Miriam, thinking quickly, volunteered to go find a new mother somewhere among the Hebrew people to nurse the baby. Lo and behold, she returned to the boy's own mother. If you think about it, this is one of the greatest triumphs of the Old Testament. Not only did the boy escape the treachery of Pharaoh, but he was nursed and cared for by his own mother as an infant and then as a young child, too. So soon after, here we have the young Moses, raised in all the pomp and circumstance and luxury of the greatest superpower of the world at that time, Egypt. His blood relatives were suffering in terrible slavery, oppression, but he was comfortable with any imaginable luxury that was available at that time. He was educated. He was raised to be a member of the elite in that nation. In short, he had all the privileges he could possibly have. But then something changed. One day he was venturing out of the palace. He saw one of the cruel overseers beating one of the Hebrews. Out of the blue, he stepped forward and killed the Egyptian overseer. Then he then became a fugitive of the authoritarian state. We all know Moses as the great and inspirational leader, but that would not come for another 40 years of exile in the desert. But the obvious question is, what happened? What awoke in Moses, this man raised in privilege, to suddenly develop a sense of outrage and justice in favor of the people who were enslaved to his government? Well, sometimes this takes reading between the lines a little bit and doing some thinking outside the box, as they say. Consider, for a moment, it was Moses' mother who knew who he really was and had that influence on him underneath the trappings of success. Not only she knew who he was, she knew whose he was. He belonged to the God of the Hebrews. I mean, look at those Exodus scriptures that Marva read for us. They gave great credit to his mother. She saw he was a fine baby. She hid him for 3 months. She prepared a basket for him. She launched him in the Nile. She then got him back and nursed him. Can you imagine her with the young boy, maybe singing the songs of the Hebrews? maybe planting in his heart, with God's help, a seed of faith that would later flourish. Or as we say today, opening the eyes of his heart at a very young age. As we read between the lines, we wonder what prompted him to find that sense of justice for the Hebrew people. You wonder if he might have answered, well, the Spirit of the Lord, but also because my mother told me. So I'd like to suggest just two spiritual principles that come out of this story that apply, I think, to everyone on this day when we lift up the gifts of women from this great story. Remember, these are somewhat forgotten characters in the greatest story of the Hebrew people, really the deliverance from slavery out of Egypt. But two very simple principles come out of this story. And the first one is, be thankful to God for the faith and goodness that you have caught from other people. Not only your family members, or maybe your mother or father, if you've been so fortunate, but other people along life's journey, including many of us here at UPB. Because I believe God often speaks to us through the goodness of the people around us, shows us his transcendent love, which is truly greater than the trappings of success and power that we have. That is the kind of thing which really lasts. Some of us have been fortunate to have people who surrounded us with this kind of faith since childhood. You know, not just a mother, but many others in a neighborhood growing up, extended family, friends. But still others found this kind of support more in a congregation like this one, or many, many others. The question I often think of is, how many have touched our lives along the way? How many have opened doors for us? How many have helped us catch a contagious faith? And that leads to a second, very, very closely related principle. Second, someone, maybe several someones, might be catching something from you today. Are you the mother or father or sister or aunt or grandfather or coworker who is passing on a powerful influence on someone else? You might even just be a good friend who can lead or teach by your example how to carry yourself in the world. You might be a person who inspires someone to have a passion to pursue their goals that they didn't think were possible. Someone might be catching something from you today. Remember that famous saying attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, right? Preach the gospel always, and if absolutely necessary, use words. And sometimes we use that word mentor. I learned that actually comes from Homer's Odyssey. It's a friend of Odysseus named Mentor, is a trusted role model in all kinds of areas of life. So that's where we get our word. We might be a mentor for someone in the church or a community association, or maybe just as a neighbor. It goes with the idea that some of the most important commitments in our lives are not because of logic or rationality, but because of some spirit or interest that we might have caught from somebody else. Well, even more than all that, this Exodus story reminds us once again as so many biblical stories do, that God works in ways that are beyond our understanding. God uses the weak to sometimes shame the strong, as with Moses' mother and sister. God works through persons with no obvious power, or at least power as it's expected, you know, to be used in the world. This great plan of God to use Moses as his messenger depends initially on no fewer than five women in this story, taking huge risks and being vulnerable to violence. They take on the challenge against terrible power with great courage. And then after all that, God's plan for the future of Israel rests on the shoulders of a helpless baby in a fragile basket floating down the Nile. This will be reminiscent for us as the birth narrative of Jesus will tell us later. God works through ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So on this day, on this beautiful Sunday, I'm thinking of these five women from Exodus and people in my own life who have helped me catch the faith, and of an Ivy League professor who was asked why he believed in God, said, "Because my mother told me." Who might be in your thoughts on this day? Thanks be to God. Amen.